Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
United Healthcare nurse Crystal checked in on a patient.
We do a routine call after surgery, and I could tell in her voice that she was struggling.
Crystal knew she needed help.
And I knew that this is very serious. This is like septic. This is life-threatening.
And she knew just what to do.
And I called the hospital and said, she's coming in. Here are her labs.
And got her the help she needed.
I see my role at United Healthcare as a life-saving role.
Hear more stories like Crystal's at UHC.com. Benefits, features, and or devices vary by plan area. Limitation and exclusions apply.
Look, we just got done talking about Michael Jackson. Now that James is here, let's talk about the videos I've seen of Max B over the last couple of days. That's
with,
a wild boy.
With his $500,000 jewelry allotment that he got. James, you big Max B fan?
He got that Kenny Caraway money.
Well, he wavy. Well, James, say right now, he wavy.
I don't know what that means.
That's fine. That's fine, James.
I don't say things that I know what they mean, Kenny.
Very good. That's a smart way to live. That's a smart way to live, Hammer. James, I said a couple of times today that tonight is kind of a breaking point for me. They're 3-8, which obviously isn't great. 4-8 for some reason feels better. Like it to me, like I feel like if you're 4-8, it's not a great road trip, but it's not. You have a pulse. Right, I don't pull the plug yet, because there's a pulse there. Man, you'll have a hard time convincing me not to take you off life support if they lose this game and this homestand winds up as bad as it would be if they dropped this game to Atlanta.
Yeah, I just don't know what the alternative is, though. I mean, do you just stop watching for a couple of weeks until Keegan gets back? I mean, like, look, this is kind of the way this season is started, and it's probably going to continue. There is a little bit of hope here that maybe Keegan can make a big difference. Maybe they can pull off a trade that complements Keegan's return and, you know, starts to put this thing a little more functional. Mm-hmm. But for right now, I'm with you. Like, this is it's a bad spot to be in. I said it earlier. For some reason, 4-8 sounds just so much better than 3-9. And, you know, so you're hoping for a win. You're hoping that they show up on their home court, that they give their home fans something to cheer about. And, you know, I don't know how they accomplished that. But, you know, again, I'm kind of in that mode where it's time for another change. It's time to figure out something different. And I wouldn't be surprised if we see Doug Christie tinker with the starting lineup again. Mm-hmm. But, you know, when a player stops playing well at all, at some point you do have to make a move. And unfortunately for Dennis Schroeder, that's kind of where we're at with him. And so that's where I would start with today's conversation, is like, how do you put Russell Westbrook in the starting lineup, even if it's just to give Dennis a break and clear his head?
My bad. Yeah, I'm all for giving, you know, vets the time and the leeway to kind of work themselves out of whatever slumps they have. And, you know, I know for the better part of the last week or so, people have been calling for Dennis to be replaced in the starting lineup because of the way he's been playing, the way he's been shooting. And, you know, I'm on, I guess, maybe the Doug Christie side of this. Like, I got to give him some time. I got to figure out, you know, give him the opportunity to figure out what he needs to get back on track. And I think we've run out of time. Mm-hmm. I agree with you. Like, yeah. I've given you enough leeway, Dennis, to try and continue to hold on to the spot, but you're not playing any better. We're not winning any games. I got to do what's best for the rest of the guys in this locker room, and maybe even for yourself as well. Like you said, to maybe this is something that can kickstart Dennis into playing a little better. But I would look to put Russell Westbrook in that starting point guard spot.
Yeah, I don't know how you do it. You know, again, we always talk about these moments that come and go where, you know, should you put Malik Monk in the starting lineup used to be the question before. But at this point, like, this team just plays better when Russell Westbrook's on the floor, and certainly when he's on the starting lineup. So I kind of need to see what it looks like. And like a 1-for-19 stretch, like, I don't remember another player having something like this in Sacramento. 1-for-19 over three games is crazy. And to get starter minutes, and, you know, again, Doug has had to go to different directions. And I think the other thing that I'm looking at is I don't really like Russell Westbrook, Malik Monk playing together off the bench. I think that's all your oomph. You know, that's your energy right there between those two. And so I would use the energy level of one of those guys in the starting lineup to just change the, you know, what's happening here. You know, make somebody else really focus on Russell Westbrook, you know, because that's what will happen. You know, if you're able to get Russell Westbrook going in the first couple of minutes of a game tonight, then Dyson Daniels is going to have to shift over and defend him. And that might get Zach LaVine going.
Yeah.
And if you can get Zach LaVine going, then now they're going to start chasing their tail. And that's how you start to get mismatches and how you start to get things moving the right way. You know, I see people mentioning like Dwayne Dedmon in the chat, and, you know, like, I've been here long enough to see so many veterans come in and just not figure out how to fit in. And it's never made any sense to me. You know, the Marco Bellinellis of the world, you know, there's just so many players that come in, they sign free agent contracts in Sacramento, and then unfortunately just like forget how to be effective. And you want to give somebody some leeway to play through it. And I'm not saying don't play Dennis at all. I'm just saying, like, whatever's happening right now, it's not working. And teams are sagging off him. They're not even defending him on the perimeter. And that's a problem for everyone else. You know, yeah. If you can't figure out how to play with this group, then maybe you need to watch for a few minutes and see what happens.
Hammer, does it throw any sort of monkey wrench into Doug's potential plans, in that he'll have to change his starting lineup no matter what tonight, given the fact that Zach LaVine is out? Do you feel like he can still make that change with Dennis Schroeder at the point guard position, knowing that Zach won't be available?
Sure. Like, I think you can use Keon Ellis as a starter.
I don't think that's going to happen, sweetie. I think it's going to be Neek. Like, I do not think Doug is going to go to Keon to start.
No, you might be right. You might be right there. But, you know, like, again, that I like Neek Clifford in the starting lineup, you know, but what you can't do is put non-offensive players in your backcourt and then try to run the ball through your big man or whatever you're trying to do. I mean, like, at that point, what are you looking at? Three non-scorers in your starting lineup, or guys that aren't scoring? That's really tough. So, I mean, at least with Keon Ellis, they have to stay with him on the perimeter, because if he gets hot, you know, everyone knows he can knock down a three as well as anybody in the league. So that's where you start to run into problems. Mm-hmm. Like, the spacing on this team is already bad. It is. It's just not good at all. And you got to figure out ways to open up the spacing. And that's not to put, you know, like, I like what Neek Clifford's doing and how he's developing, but, like, no one is going to, like, go stand out on him on the three-point line and respect his three-point shot until he hits two or three. And by that point, what are we looking at? The fourth quarter? Because, you know, clearly you're not feeding him the ball. So it's just a weird situation to be in.
Yeah, there was at least three times last night where watching the game, and the Kings are actually moving the ball well, to, you know, everybody being happy about that on the offensive end, and they get it, kick it out to somebody, and they swing. Oh, yeah, one more. There he is in the corner. One more. and they get it to the corner and it's Precious. And I said, oh, no. We don't have anybody who can shoot the ball. You move the ball perfectly and Precious is the one in the corner. No. And that's kind of the conundrum that you're talking
about. I remember it very distinctly.
You took that Precious possession really hard.
No, it was frustrating. It happened at least two times. I said, oh, no. And I'm not mad at Precious. This is just not his game. Like, he's trying to spread the floor, but he's not a three-point shooter. That's not his job to shoot that shot. And that's when you get hit with the reality of, like, man, and with this group, with this particular group on the floor, they don't have nobody to spread the floor and shoot it.
Well, I'll admit that I went home and took a nap, and then I've got to get back in the car and drive all the way down to the arena. I didn't see the injury report until right now, and, you know, you got Malik questionable, you've got Domas questionable. It's not a good thing. I am surprised that Zach's not playing because I didn't see him with an injury last night at all. But, you know, again, you're hoping that this team bounces back. You know, the Warriors have already played like three or four sets of back-to-backs. This is what, the second for the Kings? Like, you got to get out there and play. This is your team is in a bad situation, and this is one of the few winnable games on the schedule that's coming up. And especially at home, you need to, it's got to be all hands on deck. And yeah, I would not be shocked to see Russell Westbrook starting tonight. Well, who's going to start with him? You know, maybe he starts alongside a guy like Dennis Schroeder. And maybe that's what you do. But you got to hope that, again, Domas plays. You know, he's just beat up, man. Watching him labor up and down the court, grabbing his side the whole time. I'm surprised he's not wearing like a flak jacket. You know, because that's what they do with a lot of NFL guys.
Yeah, it's not going to get any better. Like, they play, there's a ton of basketball ahead for them. A lot of it's taking place on the road. I wonder if Doug had an idea going into tonight and then learning that Zach LaVine wouldn't play, if it's like, well, okay, maybe it's Dennis and Russ, but it's not like anything is really working. So starting Russ and Neek, or, you know, maybe he shocks us all and it's Russ and Keon, which, again, I wouldn't expect that. If he makes two changes, I think it would be Russ and Neek. But of course, as you mentioned, Hammer, we've still got the element of whether Domas is going to be available or not. Malik's availability is a big deal too, because, man, boy, this gets real bad if you start missing any more guys.
Yeah, man.
What'd you think of Doug's pregame address yesterday?
I thought it was interesting. Like right away, you know, like I usually get the mic either first or second over on the side. So I'm always sitting on like where Doug sits to his left, and the door they come in, it's got a finger pad that allows you to get in and out. That's how they unlock it and lock it. So it's all ID. And I watched media relations stand by there waiting to reopen the door. And I was kind of like, huh, well, that's weird. Just like sort of a weird situation where, you know, when you're in the same room and you do the same thing, it becomes so routine that when something is out of the ordinary, you catch it like very quickly. So when Doug started to talk and media relations stood by the door, it was like, I don't think we're going to be asking questions. Like, this looks like it's going to be over very quickly, and then we'll be on to the rest of our day. I just think it was like, it was weird. And the way that he decided to address, you know, the media, I think first and foremost, I understand what his thought was, but I don't know that it's the best way to handle that. And, you know, I don't know if there is a way to handle sort of the criticism of what's happening. But I certainly don't think that it was, you know, like the best way. Anytime you're in that situation, you think it's going to go a different way than it does, right? And I talked about this earlier, but, you know, I don't know if you guys remember the Paul Westphal letter to the media about DeMarcus Cousins, and then he got fired 2 days later. Like, that didn't go over well. You know, Mike Brown had a couple of moments that didn't play the way that I think he thought they would. So I just think that it was a tough way to address people. And I also think, like, a lot of people in the room, like, while it's going on, they're looking around like, did I say something? Is there something I did? And realistically, I don't think it was anyone that was in that room. You know, and a lot of the television guys were out on the floor doing live hits because it was such a late game that's when their live hits for their evening news show were, and they weren't in the room either. So everyone came back and was like, wait, what the hell happened? And it was like, yeah, it was weird, like 2 minutes. So like, I get it. And I get Doug trying to be forceful at the same time. I just don't know. You know, again, if I were advising him in that situation, that's not what I would have had him do. And if you were going to make that statement, you should have at least left it open for questions so people could have asked. And I mentioned this with Kyle earlier. The game before, like, as a group, we gave him a bunch of grace leading into the game because he took the podium like minutes after finding out that Lenny Wilkins had passed, who is like one of his heroes, being from Seattle. And Doug, you know, got very emotional in pregame and started to break down, and we let it go and ended the media session after, you know, a couple of minutes, not even that, maybe a minute and a half. And so for this to be like the follow-up the next time was a little different. And, you know, so we had back-to-back media sessions that were very kind of unsettling in a way.
Do you think this is an isolated incident? And there is something specifically that set Doug off, or do you think even 10 games in, maybe the pressure of the situation is getting to him?
I think there's a troll out there that's gotten under his skin. So, I mean, I don't want to dive too deep into it, but
them
I do think
Thailand trolls are a bitch.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I've heard.
So, yeah, I think that at the end of the day, I do think that that someone got under his skin. And, you know, like Doug's been in the business long enough. He does have people that, you know, may like him and people that don't like him. The number of people that like him outweigh the number of people that don't like him, probably like 200-1. So it's kind of the way it goes. You know, I don't think he was reacting to Dave. I don't think that was it. It could have been part of it, but I don't.
That
think
was
that
my
was
initial
it.
Thought because I know nothing of what goes on in Thailand, so I wasn't even aware of that thing. I didn't know that person existed anymore. But yeah. I absolutely Nobody thought, given the social media conversation, I thought he was talking about Dave's tweet, or Twitter behavior. Just because that's when he says, you know, that's not me. Yeah, that Doug's like, no, I'm gonna go win games now.
Right.
And if you tell me I can't win with this roster, I'm gonna prove you wrong that I absolutely can win with this roster. That's Doug. But so that and again, that was the confusing thing. Hammer, I was with this. What is he talking about?
I think, you know, the weird thing was as a media group, we walked out of the room, all of us kind of scratching our head, like, You know, again, I've seen a lot of crazy things in 16 years covering this team, you know, and that's not one of them. I mean, that's now one of them. It's like I had not seen something like that before. I have seen like a coach come in, address the media quickly and leave, but not usually like that. So it just became like the topic of discussion with the media group and then a bunch of like sort of detective work everyone's going through and trying to figure out what exactly it is. And I think the initial thing was it could be, you know, that, you know, Dave's tweets and whatever. But at the end of the day, I don't believe that was it. And I haven't talked to Doug like off the record about it. You know, clearly it's a frustrating time for the team and frustrating time for a coach that, you know, the one thing that he did that stood out is, he brought up Rick Adelman and he brought up Jerry Reynolds as two of the people that like have a deep seated love for the city of Sacramento and the job at hand and what that means. And he's one of them, you know, like coaches come and go, but you know, a lot of them come into Sacramento without any ties to here. And Doug, you know, considers himself a member of this community. And he's been a huge part of this community for 20 years. And so not everybody has that same tie. Mike Brown didn't have that tie. Dave Yeager didn't have that tie. Luke Walton didn't have that tie. You know, Keith Smart didn't have that tie. None of the Michael Malone didn't have that tie. You end up falling in love with Sacramento. A lot of these people do. And the community and the, you know, all the way the fans embrace you and the way you go to high school football games and all the stuff that coaches here that you know, are in charge of the Kings have done over the last, you know, couple of decades. But at the same time, I think Doug just thinks he has a deeper tie because he was a player here. And it's a little different for him. It hits a little different. And he wants success. He wants success not just for himself so he keeps his job. He wants success for the Kings and for Kings fans and for Sacramento. And that's, you know, that's not always what the job is here. A lot of people are, sure, they're looking for success, but they're looking for personal success. They're looking for, you know, their win-loss record and to make more money and all that stuff. That's not what Doug's here for.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them, and you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
United Healthcare nurse Crystal checked in on a patient.
We do a routine call after surgery, and I could tell in her voice that she was struggling.
Crystal knew she needed help.
And I knew that this is very serious. This is like septic. This is life-threatening.
And she knew just what to do.
And I called the hospital and said, she's coming in. Here are her labs.
And got her the help she needed.
I see my role at United Healthcare as a life-saving role.
Hear more stories like Crystal's at UHC.com. Benefits, features, and or devices vary by plan area. Limitation and exclusions apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Don't let the holidays derail your fitness. Stay on track with Hydro. 20 minutes rowing on a Hydro targets 86% of your muscles as Olympians guide you from incredible locations worldwide. Running can't compete. That's why 90% stick with Hydro a year later. GQ named the Hydro Arc the best rower of 2025. And every Hydro comes with free shipping, a 30-day trial, and warranty. Go to Hydro.com code FIT and save up to $600 on your next Hydro. Hydro.com code FIT.
You know, James, I 100% understand people that say should have just went on about his business, not reacted to anything of it, anything that had been going on. But one of the things that I did kind of like about him speaking is it showed a little fire after, you know, what happened over the weekend and them getting beat down. And I don't know that the fire, showing fire doesn't result in wins or a better product, but you know, sometimes, not all the time, sometimes, and we would get on De'Aaron Fox for this when they would lose games. Sometimes you want to know that these guys are just as frustrated or care just as much as you do. And I thought Doug in that speech kind of got in his competitive bag right there. Like, he's very competitive and prideful about some of the things that have gone down to start this season. And, you know, I appreciated him at least showing that type of pulse.
Oh, yeah, he certainly has a pulse, and he, you know, he wants to succeed. Like, and this is a coach, like, whatever you want to say about, you know, like, whether he would be a coach somewhere else in the league or anything else. Like, first of all, there are plenty of coaches that wouldn't get a job somewhere in some other city. There are tons of them, you know, like the guy in, you know, LA running the Lakers. I don't know if he was going to go get another job if he wasn't a podcast partner of LeBron James. The, you know, the guy in Memphis that, or the guy Darko in Toronto. Like, there are always coaches in places that, you know, they might not get a job somewhere else. So I've never bought that as like a big knock on Doug. Doug did the work. He did 3.5 years as an assistant before he took over the team last year. And like, he ran a 27-24 record with a team that had fired their coach and then traded their best player. And he held on for dear life. And, you know, whether they were successful in the play-in or not, he was able to keep them afloat enough to get to the play-in tournament. And so, like, there is something here. He can coach. It's just, he needs time. He needs a better roster. He needs a different roster, like better fit players and stuff. So it's just not an easy situation for anybody involved.
But you got to find a way to make it work. Mm-hmm. And
you do.
That's I think that's one of, when you talk about one of Doug's best qualities, Doug could walk out there with Jesse, D'Lo, Casey, James, and Kyle, and he'll find a way to, no, we're going to win this game. He would be wrong, but he would absolutely believe, no, I'm going to get these guys ready to go out there and win a basketball game, because Doug doesn't operate any other way. It goes back to the pregame thing. That's why I thought he was talking about Dave. Because he just would not, like, operate that way in, like, rebuilding and tanking, doing all this stuff. Like, he wants to go out and win with this group. I also think there's, like, a level of, like, reassurance there because, you know, the validity of what Dave said doesn't really matter. It was picked up by NBA aggregators, and now all of a sudden, DeRozan, LaVine, Dennis, Doma, like, your whole four of your five, starting five, they're all out there. Their names are all out there. And there's a certain level of, hey, man, that's not what we're doing. No. That's not how we
that
operate.
It doesn't help.
It doesn't help
the situation.
Of course not. Yeah, of course not.
And real quick, because I thought about this earlier. I meant to bring it up. But when you thought maybe it was addressed a little bit to Dave as well, aside from the haters remark and all this other stuff, he was very emphatically trying to get across the point that we're all on the same page. And Doug is not a, hey, we're tanking or we're ready for, Doug is like, we're trying to win tonight. And he got across early on, no, we are all on the same page. So I just kind of thought about that earlier when you were talking about who maybe it was addressed to. And if somebody is talking about rebuild and they're ready for, he's like, no, I don't know what you're talking about. Me, you know how I get down. I'm trying to win, and we're all on the same page. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I do. They are on the same page. It's the same message I get behind the scenes as well. Like, they understand that this roster is not right. They do. They understand that there has to be massive changes and that the only way to get through this is to really, like, revamp just the fit of the team. They just don't fit together, and everyone sees that, but they also see it. It's not like they're blind to this and have their head in the sand and saying, oh, no, it'll get better. No, they get it. They get that the schedule's rough. They get that the mix of players is wrong, but they also have to have ways to fix that without it costing draft capital and everything else that sets them back even further. So, stuff.
We'll come back. We've got Kings basketball again tonight at the Golden One Center against the Atlanta Hawks. No Zach LaVine. We're waiting to hear, and I'm sure we won't know for a while, about Domas. and Malik Monk. But we'll come back. We got more with our insider from the insiders. It's James Hamm with D'Lo and KC on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
Deborah had to have surgery.
I had hip surgery in November of 2024.
Her United Healthcare nurse, Crystal, checked on her.
We do a routine call after surgery, and I could tell that she was struggling.
Deborah needed help.
My infection markers were through the roof.
And Crystal knew what to do.
I called the hospital and said she's coming in.
And got Deborah the help she needed.
Crystal and United Healthcare saved my life.
Hear more stories like Deborah's at UHC.com. Benefits, features, and/or devices vary by plan area. Limitation and exclusions apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Don't let the holidays derail your fitness. Stay on track with Hydro. 20 minutes rowing on a Hydro targets 86% of your muscles as Olympians guide you from incredible locations worldwide. Running can't compete. That's why 90% stick with Hydro a year later. GQ named the Hydro Arc the best rower of 2025. And every Hydro comes with free shipping, a 30-day trial, and warranty. Go to Hydro.com code FIT and save up to $600 on your next Hydro. Hydro.com code FIT.
Over to BakerFamilyWines.com. Join Dusty's Clubhouse. Get updated on all the exclusive releases he's got coming out, the tasting room specials, and they might even alert you when Dusty Baker is going to be at the tasting room, which is in Napa, right, KC?
No.
No, it's not. Alameda County?
No, sir.
Lodi?
No, no.
It's not, man. Baker Family Wines is right here in Sacramento, here. West Sacramento, to be exact, on Industrial Boulevard. Man, you can go there anytime you want to, hang out, have some great wines. They'll even show you the winery in the back, man. It's absolutely terrific. If Dusty Baker is there, don't be embarrassed about sitting down and telling him he is your favorite, because I've seen a million people do it, and I've seen a million people sit and talk with him. Grab the rosé while you're there. I promise you won't regret it, or that 755 tribute to Hammer and Hank, man. That cab is beautiful. You could look for Baker Family Wines at select Nugget locations in Roseville, Granite Bay, and out there in Elk Grove. You can also search Rayleigh's in Bel Air. Look for that wine bottle with the baseball stitch on it and the Baker Family Wine logo. Again, head over to BakerFamilyWines.com. Join Dusty's Clubhouse and join the family of Baker Family Wines. We were talking about Keegan Murray during the commercial break. Hammer, I'll just ask you what it's. We got to be close, right?
Yeah, we had a podcast on Saturday, and Sean thought that he would be back by, like, I think he said game like 9 or 10, and I'm like, well, that's now. Like literally today.
Yeah,
and I'm like, I don't think he's going to be back. Like, we haven't heard anything on reevaluation. Mm-hmm. He was at shoot around yesterday, but not shooting. He was, you know, walking around dribbling a ball with his good hand, his right hand that is not injured, but he still has like whatever the splint is, and I think he's probably going to play the rest of the season or a good portion of the season with something like that on his hand. But I think the one good thing that I would say is that when he's ready to return, when he's pain-free or he can't injure it any further or whatever, when they feel like he's healed, he should be ready to go like very quickly. Like the Kings have their like return to play protocol where they want, you know, 5-on-5 and 3-on-3 and, you know, contact and all that stuff. But that's usually for like lower leg injuries and stuff. He's got a hand issue. He's been running. He's been jumping. He's been lifting weights. He's been shooting the basketball, dribbling, all that stuff for, you know, 3 weeks, 4 weeks since the injury. So I would expect him to be back relatively soon. We're right a little bit over the 4 week mark for reevaluation, but the 4 to 6 week mark is what we're looking at. He could be out another, you know, 6 to 8 games. What we looked at in the beginning, it was like, I think it really aligned with the 4 to 6 weeks aligned with game 12 to like game 20. And so it should be relatively soon, but we might still have a little bit of time to go.
James, what's been your thoughts on Precious in the first few games that he's played with the Kings? Some in the starting lineup, some coming off the bench. What's your feel on him so far?
I think he's played really well. I think he's starting to get a little more comfortable. He gives the Kings something they just didn't have. You know, he's not a big time offensive player. That's not what we've seen, but you know, he does rebound. He does show up on defensive plays where you're like, huh, where'd he come from? I thought he did a solid job defending Aaron Gordon last night. I think, you know, again, they had to take Drew Eubanks off of Valanciunas and Jokic and use Precious on him, on one of those two guys when Domas got in foul trouble. So I think he's doing well. I think he's growing into whatever role he's going to have. And like, look, when everyone is healthy, he might have played himself into a little bit of a backup center role as well. But when Keegan is back and he's playing, you know, 34, 35, 36 minutes a night, it's going to leave like 13, 14 minutes a night for someone like Precious. And I think he can hold down those minutes, at least right now. You'd like someone who's a little bit more of a 3-4, not a 4-5. But at the same time, I think that he can be an effective player, especially in short bursts for this team moving forward.
You guys were a little harsh on Eubanks this morning. Not harsh. You guys didn't say anything mean, but Drew did fine for his role last night. The fact that he couldn't stop Joker is not his fault.
It means he's the NBA.
No, I get that. I get that. But there's a difference between not stopping and being a cone, you know, like you have to give some sort of resistance. And I, the one good thing about Eubanks, like, first of all, he was very good offensively, but it was a lot of bailout stuff where guys were like, oh, hot potato at the end of the shot clock. And I think he did a really good job of hitting like the little floater. You know, he had 19 points, but I think the biggest thing is he had 7 rebounds, right? Mm-hmm. That's something that he just has not been very effective at so far, is grabbing rebounds. And so you're hoping that he kind of steps up a little bit.
So it's not that big of a deal.
Jokic had them all.
And the ones Jokic didn't get, Denver got the rest of them.
Yeah. It's tough though. Like, look, you know, he's like 6'9". He's not a 7-footer. And so he's undersized even for a backup, you know, backup 5. And he doesn't really have range. Like, I thought he would have a little bit more shooting range, and he doesn't. So I don't see a lot of ways in which him and Domas can play side by side. So you're just trying to figure out, you know, again, what this team looks like in the future. And, you know, he gave good minutes last night. You know, the scoring again was really good. I do think that anytime you see this, it's happened a couple of times already this season, guys like Eubanks getting 10, 12 shots, guys like Maxime Reynaud getting 10 shots in a game. I don't know if the Kings realize this, but that's by design. That's the other team is giving you that. That's what they're allowing. And I think there's a little bit too much of that. Like, I don't need to see games where, you know, Reynaud or Drew Eubanks are shooting more than Zach LaVine. That's just, you know, again, if that's happening, it's because the other team is living with that and they're totally fine with what's happening.
So what do you do? Tell them not to shoot?
Well, no, your team needs to work harder to get shots for your good shooters, for your good scorers. And I'm not saying, you know, it's like super easy, but you know, they need to go out and set better screens. They need to free up Zach LaVine. They need to free up, you know, if it's DeMar, or free up Malik Monk, you know, get these guys going downhill at the rim. And if you're scoring around the rim on, you know, like pick and roll opportunities, that's one thing. Or if you're getting rebounds and putbacks, that's another thing. But a lot of times it's almost like, you know, there's one guy left open on the court with 5 seconds on the shot clock, and it's one of these bigs, and the other team's just sitting there saying, yep, that's exactly how we plan this defensive set.
Real quick, I want to say, ask James something real quick. Both of you guys, I got a little frustrated last night. I know there was some foul trouble, but I feel like Doug plays too many guys. Jokic played the entire first and third quarter. And the only reason he didn't come back earlier in the fourth quarter is because the game was like kind of out of hand. And I'm like, well, once again, foul trouble was there. I get it. But like, why isn't Domas playing until the 2 minute mark, especially if you don't have a adequate backup center? Why isn't he playing till 2 minutes left in the first quarter, or 2 minutes left in the third quarter? And I just feel like Doug plays too many guys. Like, he needs to shorten the rotation.
Yeah, he shortened the rotation for a couple of games, but last night, very specifically, it's the first night of a back-to-back. And Sabonis got in foul trouble.
Yeah, I wondered that.
Yeah, you know, I think that that's why you saw so many players. But I also think, like, a little bit, he's listening about the Keon stuff. And so, like, I think the other option, Kenny, is that he doesn't play Keon. You know, if he's going to play Neek and, you know, kind of share those minutes around, it gets a little dicey pretty quick. And, you know, like tonight, you know, I don't know, you're going to get pretty, there's a possibility if they're down a couple of players, we might actually see Doug McDermott play, you know. But again, no Reno last night, no Doug McDermott. Like, I don't think that they're playing just a ton of guys. Sometimes he's getting to 10 guys in the first quarter, but a lot of times that's because he is doing like the initial three subs, and then he's coming back with two additional subs. He's not leaving two starters on the court for long periods.
What do you do? So the back-to-back thing is always kind of a talking point because of obviously the short turnaround. You have the dynamic of the 8 o'clock game last night. Doug also has to just kind of do, he's got to find a way to come up with victories. This team was in the game until midway through the fourth or whatever. So I don't know how much the back-to-back factored into what he did last night, but I do wonder how much it factors into what he does tonight. He's already going to be short. You know, we know Zach LaVine for sure. Hopefully that's it. You've got Dennis struggling. Like, you've got all, you know, all sorts of different things, you know, happening with this lineup. And then you just have the fact that they're not playing well. It feels like Doug, Jay-Z talks about, I got 99 problems. No, Doug's got all of those too.
It's got 100.
He's got the bitch and all of them. Like, he's got all of the problems.
He's got 100 problems.
And it seems the starting lineup thing is almost laughable at this point, because you wonder, man, is Doug going to have the same starting lineup for two games in a row? And like, you learn, well, he doesn't have the ability to, because someone's going to be on the injured report who wasn't there the day before.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think that's the problem. You know, anytime you go out and sign a player like 7 games into the season and he starts for you 5 days later, I mean, that's an indictment on your roster.
Yeah.
It is. I mean, that's just really tough. But, you know, and Russell Westbrook signed like a couple of days before the season started. And was he already got 5 or 6 starts? Like, that's not ideal. So I think he's still trying to figure out like 2-man combos, 3-man combos that play well together. I do like the Keon and Neek combo when they come in, especially when they go to a zone. I think that they cause a bunch of problems. I like that combo either way, because I think that is something that could be part of your future. You know, Neek at the 3 and Keegan at the 4 with Keon Ellis at the 2. there's a possibility that, you know, at least short term, that could be a starting lineup, part of a three parts of a starting lineup at some point. So it's just tough, though, because I don't think, you know, individually they're playing well enough that you can point to, you know, DeMar, or you can point to Domas or Zach or Russell or Malik and say, hey, look, you know, they're playing well. You can look at their stats. You can look at their stat line at the end of every game. You can look at their season stats, and they look like they're playing really well. But the combinations together just aren't working. Mm-hmm. So, again, the numbers lie. And that's not something that's usually that big of an issue, where you're seeing, you know, again, you look at a box score and you're just completely confused. Like, how in the world do they lose by 12, or how do they lose by 30? I mean, the 30-pointer, sure, but a lot of the games this season haven't been by that. It's been a 6-point loss, 5-point loss, and so many players have had good games, and it's just that they're not fitting together as a group.
What do you think about Neek's time on the court since he's come back? Has there been some things that you really like, or do you see him, you know, trying to catch up from the injury and being a rookie?
Yeah, I want to see more Neek Clifford. I got to be honest. Like, I love watching him play. There are a lot of times right now where the guys are flying out on him at the 3-point line and he's running right past him. And then he's pulling up. He pulled up for a jumper in the last game, or he's finding guys in the corner. Like, if you want to know what it is that Doug Christie wants to see from his team, just go ahead and watch Neek Clifford, because he's doing exactly what they want. He's getting the paint touches. He's firing the ball to wide open shooters. He's going in and rebounding. He's playing defense. He's playing the game the right way. He's playing within, you know, who he is as a player. I just want to see more. I'd like to see him try to go for 20 in a game and just kind of have that moment where he starts to show the full offensive arsenal, because I think it's there. I do. He's just a little tentative right now. He's just not quite as comfortable as you hope that he will be eventually. But when he does get comfortable, man, he's going to be a ball player. Like, you found a rotational player there. Whether he's a long-term starter or not, I don't know. But I would start looking at him as a potential long-term fixture at the two. Yeah, after the Zach LaVine era, and especially if you can get a four and move Kagan to the three, I think that would be a really nice 2-3 combo, where you have length, athleticism, shooting, you know, creativity with Neek. Like, I do like what you have there.
If anything, Hammer, what does it say that I think Doug turns to Neek tonight to start? We've seen Doug turn to Neek to start and not Keon. What does that tell you, if anything?
I don't know that it says a ton, other than I think Doug does trust Neek. Mm-hmm. And also, I think Neek is a more versatile player. And, you know, of all the stats that stood out to me last night, there is one that was kind of hidden there that, that most people aren't talking about, and it's the rebound number. You know, the Kings got killed on the glass. You know, Denver had 48 rebounds. Mm-hmm. The Kings had, what 35. Was it? 35, right? Neek Clifford is a very, very good rebounder for his position, and Keon Ellis is not. And so I keep coming back to that. When you have Keegan Murray back, it allows you to have a couple of guys in the starting lineup that don't rebound. You know, a guy like Dennis Schroeder, a guy like Keon Ellis, guys that just for their position aren't good rebounders. Even, you know, Zach LaVine, DeMar DeRozan. The Kings have too many guys that aren't good rebounders for their position. And, you know, like right now, your best rebounder is clearly Domas. Your second best rebounder is Russell Westbrook, who's just about 37 years old, like any minute now, any day. If it's not today, it's right around today.
Yeah, happy birthday, today. Russ.
Yep.
Yeah. So, I mean, for me, that's not usually a good thing when your second best rebounder is a 6'2" guard, you know, who's 37.
Well, he is the best rebounding guard in NBA history. Like, he's not your...
He is. No, that's true.
I understand the point you're making. He's also a... I mean,
37.
He's an elite rebounder, though. Like, he's also like a hustler. Like, he works his ass off. Yeah. And that was that's something no Kings fan should be surprised by. Like, if you're on the Russ, you know, bandwagon now and you want to ride, man, that's great. But you shouldn't be surprised that, like, this is what he does. Like, this is Russell Westbrook. Like, the 3 of 12 last night, that is the Russell Westbrook experience. The 5 of 8 from three, that is the Russell Westbrook experience. But what you're going to get, regardless of what his shooting numbers are, is you're going to get him getting after boards. You're going to get him, you know, getting after plays. And he's the guy. And it's hard, man. I hate that it feels like Doug has to question, you know, these guys' level of compete, man. Because I know when I see Russ, I don't have to do that. I don't even think I have to do that with Domas. Like, I don't always love the way Domas is playing, but I feel like he's working. I don't know. It's just the plight of a bad team, I guess. Those are things that you've got to talk about.
Well, yeah, and like, look, if Russ is playing, you know, 25 minutes a night for an entire season, he's going to average like 5.5-6 rebounds a game. Like, Keegan Murray should be the second best rebounder on this team. My point was more to the fact that they have a bunch of other players who don't rebound. And so it is really, really difficult to play a group of these guys together when it just puts all of the pressure on Domas to get every single rebound. I mean, Drew Eubanks, again, has, like, per minute, has not been a good rebounder at all. Precious is showing that he can rebound. But, you know, there's a couple of guys on this team that just don't rebound. And so having a guy like Russell Westbrook fly in, having a guy like Nick Clifford, having, you know, if they let Devin Carter play, all of those would actually be bonuses, give you rebounding from a different position, a position that typically you're not getting rebounds from.
And these guys got to play. This is who's on the roster. This is what it is. And I know it's shorthanded and we talked about that a lot, but if these guys want to win basketball games, they've got to find a way to play better. And that starts tonight. You know, you got Atlanta coming in here. Nobody cares if it's a back-to-back. Atlanta don't care. They're not feeling bad for you. You got to figure out a way to play better and play more consistent throughout the course of a game.
We're getting 20 points from Russ. We might get triple-double Russ tonight. Ooh. That's what he did last time LaVine was out. Golden State. Oh,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
I don't know if
yeah.
that was the last time LaVine was out. I know LaVine didn't play that game, though. Yeah. No one did. Like, right. Russ is getting a triple
Russ
double.
Versus Pat Spencer.
Oh. Explain that one to your kids, folks. No, I was there when the Warriors and Kings played. Steph? No. Pat Spencer. Oh, man.
Pat Spencer.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to run to the stadium.
Oh, I forgot. You got to go. I'm sorry, Hammer. Go to work.
It's okay.
That's all
see
my
you
bad. All right, man. We'll see you. Completely forgot James has got to go.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't lose tonight, man. I feel like I can always take a it's all right view. I don't know why I've put a lot on this game tonight.
It's the first team they've probably come across in a while that you feel like they're not favored by.
They're not favored at all.
Yeah.
I think Atlanta's favored by 3.5.
Yeah.
If they do win, though, how do you feel after?
There's a pulse.
To fight another day?
There's just a pulse. I don't have to pull the plug.
So I wonder if you're already at that point now. It's like maybe that's just how you feel. Like that's just what it is then.
That I want to pull the plug?
Yeah. Like you just probably kind of accepted it. Like if it's coming down to one game, 12 games into the season? It's like, yeah.
Yeah, probably. You're just fighting off the inevitable feeling. Like, I don't know. It wasn't OKC. It was Minnesota. The Minnesota game killed me. Was like, oh.
That was tough.
I didn't expect that. Like, you get beat up by OKC. Like, it's all right. That was your first clunker, I think, as James or Kyle said, of the year. That's fine. There was just no response, like, at all. Yep. That was tough. And last night's game wasn't that. Like, it wasn't. But, you know, I don't even feel any way about last night's loss. It's
just a loss.
Win tonight.
Yeah.
Get a win tonight. And if not, maybe why don't you take a page out of Dave's book and just tweet something to get us aggregated and we'll create content for everybody.
I'm on it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Actually, please don't do that. That is not.
Kings lose. Hashtag King is back tomorrow.
Hashtag King, baby. Hashtag King. Win or lose, we'll be back here tomorrow beginning at 10 a.m. If you're going to the game tonight, look for me on the concourse, man, at the setup by the Westfield Galleria at Roseville. You got a chance to win some prizes, man. We're going to have a good time and hopefully light the beam tonight. We'll see you tomorrow at 10 a.m. on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
Bubbles Kings, light the beam.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them, and you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
Deborah had to have surgery.
I had hip surgery in November of 2024.
Her United Healthcare nurse, Crystal, checked on her.
We do a routine call after surgery, and I could tell that she was struggling.
Deborah needed help.
My infection markers were through the roof.
And Crystal knew what to do.
I called the hospital and said she's coming in.
And got Deborah the help she needed.
Crystal and United Healthcare saved my life.
Hear more stories like Deborah's at UHC.com. Benefits, features, and/or devices vary by plan area. Limitation and exclusions apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Having control over your healthcare is a relief. Yet so many Americans struggle to find that freedom at a price they can afford. That's why Christians across the country are turning to Redeem HealthShare Ministry. Choose your doctors, your hospitals, your treatments, all while keeping costs low. At Redeem, faith meets real affordability and the freedom to care your way. It's healthcare that lifts your spirit. Join the community today at redeemhealthshare.org.